main one that I'm a little bit concerned about is the our capital asset reserve that's currently showing in our USDA loan at 40K. So more needs to be discussed about that. Figure out what we need to do, if anything, to try to get a better reserve study done there. What is my last page here? So working on the impacts, a lot of background noise.
Sorry.
So looking at the impacts to our projected annual reserves, the inflows and outflows, I just provided here, you know, summary level information. Outflows for 2018, based on MCE's estimates, we're looking at spending, January through May up to the start of construction, about $334K. The interim loan interest for this year will amount to 67. The inflows would be eligible reimbursement. One eligible reimbursement is the purchase of the 705 meters that could be included in this, $182.6K, plus the total design and engineering costs up to the start of construction, which were estimated at 917. So the outflows versus inflows there amount to a positive 698 increase in our reserves if we just followed it the way it's showing there. 2019 outflows, interim loan interest, $368K. Inflows would be eligible reimbursement, which would be $535 coming back at the start of our USDA loan for the interim loan interest that we have paid. So for that year, the outflows versus inflows is a positive 67K. 2020, as I mentioned, is when our USDA loan would start. That's when we would need to start showing the USDA debt reserve and the short-term asset reserve. So all those would be outflows that are going to be shown in the cash flow analysis that I'm working on. And the last bullet there just talks about how we need to discuss for our next meeting with the shareholders our position on a lateral service line loan program. Last notes there. Once we get the construction bid nailed down and awarded in June, we'll be in a much better position to decide on whether we include all or portions of the eligible reimbursement into our USDA loan. We have that option. If we did not want to include the interest, we could do that. You know, so there's that will be part of the analysis that I'll be showing in that cash flow analysis. The last item there that was brought up in our last meeting, if the total costs in the bid come out to an amount that's greater than our $12.26 million, we've been informed by the USDA through John that they would approve additional funding that at a higher interest rate, which they're talking about 2.75% versus the 1.875% that we currently have. And I just calculated those out quickly. So if the bids come in $300,000 higher than what we've currently got approved, that would equate to about a $7.60 per year per shareholder increase. $600K would be a $15 increase per shareholder above and beyond what we've already calculated their annual surcharge to be to pay our loan. Any questions?
Tom, any idea what the upper limit on the USDA additional funding might be?
We asked John that question in our March 1st meeting, and Sharon, I think he said $500K to $600K, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
So it's not a couple of million. Okay.
But it's a right up at a higher interest rate, like you said here. So.
Right, but so we have that option. You know, once we get down the road here, a couple more months, and find out how all this turns out.
I'm curious, who raised this particular issue? Did they bring it to our attention, or did we ask them?
I think we
John
asked.
Had asked.
Oh, did he ask? Sorry.
I'm sorry, who did?
John.
Which
so he knew.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, he's fishing.
That's another
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Yep.
So Tom, just so you know, I gave everybody a copy of the cost estimate we got last night. And real quickly, I wrote in pencil what the quantities had been on the last time we got the cost estimate, so they could see how they went down or increased.
And that was just February 28th?
Yeah. And to be fair, we told them that it was fine, that we understood it was draft and subject to change. But
there's some significant changes.
Yeah, those
right.
were identifying changes that were mostly for me and Dave and Sharon's technical stuff too. Like if you look at the 6-inch water mains, that there's a significant reduction
mm-hmm.
there. But you see there's an addition to the 2-inch. A lot of those were things like quarts, small short quarts that you had drawn in, a 6-inch pipe going to the end of a quart.
Oh.
So I brought it up to him and I said, we do not need a 6-inch pipe feeding 5 or 6 homes, we can downsize that, and there's significant savings there in doing so. But you know, you raise up gate valves, will go up for 2-inch versus the 6-inch. There's different changes there, and it should have been significant savings. So I don't have the total
mm-hmm.
from March 1st.
Oh, here.
It's okay. It should have been significant savings as far as the total dollar value.
Right. I didn't need to talk.
Any other questions or comments?
Well, I have this one.
For Tom? Hearing none, Tom, you can go to the shower. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you later.
With them, et cetera. So that in what I'm suggesting is that for this meeting, we would have looked at the December and January statements, but not February. And at the next meeting, we would look at February and March. So instead of trying to squeeze that 1 month in, we just go back up a month. So we can talk about that at the next meeting when we get the financial statements.
Okay.
And you can have a chance to think about it.
Aged accounts.
I'm sorry?
Aged accounts receivable.
Yes. Michael is on for going to talk about foreclosure on those, and after he's finished that his discussion, I have a proposal to look at to how to deal with the aged accounts receivable.
Okay.
So I'm just going to preface this with neither Nancy and I are experts in foreclosure law, but we have done some research and kind of mapped out the process. The first step in the process is filing and recording a lien against the properties. And like I said, we've already done that, I think, on 12 different properties. Is that what we...
Oh, there's 12... Yes, there's about 12 people who are subject.
So, that's the first step. The next step is if you actually want to start the foreclosure process, is you have to go from lien to levy, which is filing or obtaining a writ of execution from the court, and which is a fairly straightforward judicial counsel form, recording that with a county recorder. But then at that point, you also have to pay a deposit with Calaveras County Sheriff's Department because they become the levy officer. I just looked up the Calaveras County Sheriff's Department's website. The deposit is $1,400. And I think the way they do it is they hold that money because they get paid out of, they get reimbursed out of this, out of the proceeds, or I guess you could pay them straight up either way. But they're going to have some sort of schedule of fees that they're going to charge based on how much time it takes them to conduct the sale. And but the initial deposit is $1,400, just to make sure the sheriff's office gets paid. Then you serve that, the notice of the levy on the owners of the property, provide notice of the sale of the property, and then you have to wait 120 days, after you serve notice of the levy, you have to wait 120 days before you can serve notice of the sale of the property. And that's the purpose of that is to give the property owner an opportunity to cure the debt. The levying officer, the sheriff's department, moves forward with the sale. And the proceeds are distributed in an order of priority, and we are not guaranteed to be first in line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a set order of priority, state taxes, things like that, that might be ahead of us. But then as the judgment debtor, we would get the next, after that higher set of priorities, we would be next in line. So one of the things that it is recommended is, you can do some due diligence on the property owner before you start this process to try to determine whether there's a bunch of other debtors that are going to be ahead of us. We have to do some more research. We know a private investigator in the area that does that kind of work, so we'll probably be retaining something like that. So there are, it's a somewhat involved process. It doesn't appear to be rocket science, but like I said, it's not something that Nancy and I have done. So we might want to associate with somebody who has experience doing it, just to avoid any pitfalls if we were to go through this process. But it's going to add to the cost of whatever the existing debt is that we already have. There's going to be a transaction cost of this process, at a minimum, the $1,400 to the Sheriff's Department, and then whatever attorney time is involved, if we have to retain a consultant to do financial due diligence. So there's going to be some cost in addition to whatever the debt is that we're trying to report. So that's sort of the basic overview of the foreclosure process if we want to go that route. The other alternative, and I think, Lee, have we ever foreclosed?
No.
On a lien?
No.
So I think the alternative is we, and this is typically what is done, is you wait until there's some transfer of the property. So if the property owner tries to refinance or tries to sell that property, or if they die, there will be a reckoning, and we will be in line to recover our debt in that transfer. And it happened just last year.
And we have two more that are happening currently right now.
Right.
And we have $5,000 each. They're actually, it's a mortgage company is forcing one, and a sale is happening on another.
Right, so ideally, some other debtor does this foreclosure process, and we just put our hat in the ring as one of the ones that needs to collect on it. But what happened last year was we had, was that after a death, or was it just the family wanted to sell the property? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. We don't need to get into the specifics. For whatever reason, the property was up for sale. I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of $15,000 to $17,000 lien on the property. The property was only worth $21,000, and so they came to us and tried to get us to forgive that some or all of the debt, and we said no. They ended up selling the place, and we got our full recovery, and they got $4,000 for their property or something along those lines, but we did end up recovering. So there is a point in time where we stand to recover. There's no guarantee we'll recover all of it at the end of the day, in all the cases, and it worked out in that case, but there's no guarantee that that will always be the case. But that's the alternative to initiating this foreclosure process, is you just wait for some transfer of that property.
Who decides who's number one in line?
It's set by statute, basically.
Okay.
So the
first one to file?
Of the judgment debtors, it's the first one to follow, but there's a higher category. I'm probably not using the right term, but if they're, like I said, if they're state taxes, one of the other ones that can come ahead.
Government if they're first in line on a loan, they get,
right.
Then they get the money first. If you're second, you might not see the money. Not that I know any of this. But yeah, the state.
Excuse me, Andy. Even if we were the first in line, it doesn't mean we're first in line for the payout.
Right. Even if you are the one that does the foreclosure, which is why I think it's usually the first mortgage holder is
mm-hmm.
the one that usually has the incentive to do the foreclosure, because they're going to be first in line. If you're not first in line, unless you do your diligence and know that there's nobody else ahead of you in line, then you may not end up with anything. I'm trying to find the list.
Is there an easy way to find out on a case where we are in line? I mean, could does somebody go to
the
court?
Well, that's where we would have to do some due diligence, and it would probably require a private investigator.
Does the due diligence, as you call it, it allows the property owner 120 days?
No, that's not the due diligence. That's the foreclosure process itself.
Okay.
I was suggesting before you start the foreclosure process, you would want to know if there are debtors with a higher priority than us.
True.
We don't want to go through the foreclosure process and then find out that we're not going to recover anything anyways because the person owes, $20,000 to the state.
So it sounds whoever moves the foreclosure should be the one that would benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. That's why you would want to determine that first.
Absolutely.
And
that,
make
that's
sure
right.
that
yeah,
you
okay.
are going to benefit from it.
Okay.
And then you would go through the process.
And the party that has 120 days to clean up, can they appeal that?
I'm glad you brought that up. It's not necessarily an appeal, but they can sue to dispute the judgment, or to dispute the debt. And some of these property owners, I'm not sure what their appetite to fight this battle is, but I know at least some, and maybe most, are not paying on principle. It's not because
right.
they can't pay,
right.
it's because they're vacant lot holders and they don't think they should have to pay because they're not using any water, and that's not how this water company is set up. Vacant lots have to contribute. But they're not paying because they don't think they should have to, and they may be willing, if we were to actually try to foreclose on the property, some of them might say that we're going to fight it. And they would have the option to sue to dispute the judgment.
Andy, I cut you off a minute ago.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Don't feel bad.
At a senior meeting.
Yes,
it was the light shining off your head that...
I like that, yeah. Well, like that. Actually, it comes off the chrome of the bumper.
If there aren't any further questions for Michael about foreclosure, I have an alternative to suggest.
Actually, I had a question.
Oh.
How much would it cost to hire the PI, private investigator, to do due diligence?
For this, I mean, I can't imagine it'd be more than $1,000. I would have to check with them and see, but...
A PI?
$100
an hour?
I don't think it would cost a lot to just do a financial records search.
Okay. Put a charge by the hour.
If you researched it and found out you're first in line, I don't know if it's a good question, not for you, but would there be a threshold that might be worthwhile filing a lien, or trying to collect on the lien?
Well, and I think that's part of what Lee is going to talk about, right. Is we're at a point where at least one and maybe more than one of our liens are approaching or may have exceeded the value of the property. And so that then there becomes a question of our ability to recover down the road. And if it's a property transfer or a regardless of why, even if it's a death, there's no guarantee that you're going to get your full recovery. You would still potentially force a sale in the probate process or in the trust administration mm-hmm. process. Recover from the property that way. There's other ways to recover, and you wouldn't have to go through foreclosure.
Do you have to wait for a sale, or if they owe you, can you take over the property?
That the foreclosure is the option. You don't.
Yeah, okay.
You have to wait for sale unless you're going to foreclose.
Okay.
That's the only way to recover prior to a transfer of the property.
And we don't own the property because we foreclosed and are successful.
No, it would be a forced sale, and then the proceeds. Oh, okay.
The county would sell it off for taxes or whatever they do.
Okay.
Well, that's problematic in and of itself, because if you look at vacant property in Blue Lake Springs, it's not selling, it hasn't sold for years. I don't know that there's been a vacant lot sold.
Right, and typically in this process, it doesn't go for the market rate.
Right.
So it would be, cheaper than what the going rate is anyways.
Are most of these lots unbuildable? They just want membership?
I don't think they're unbuildable necessarily. I don't know if we've reached that determination or not.
Okay.
I'm fairly sure, though, that if you buy through foreclosure, you have to be able to pay cash for the property, or at least pay for the full amount within a very short period of time. Which is why there aren't that many buyers out there that have that ability, and the price tends to come down in a foreclosure auction versus a market price.
Okay.
That's a good lead-in, thank you. My concern when we did this list of accounts receivable aged, and it shows that you should have a piece of paper in front of you, if we look at just number one owes us $20,247, of which $6,228 are shareholder fees, and the balance, there's a $600 penalty, but the balance is primarily interest.
Excuse me, Lee, did you just pass this out?
I passed out a piece of paper. It's not in the packet.
Should we have it, Bob?
Okay, I believe it.
Did you say 20,247? I'm looking at December. No, it's the first one on the second block. First cop person, number one, the total in the turn on the right hand column was $20,247. The exact amount is not important. The important thing is that I believe our current procedure, our current way of dealing with this is ineffective. And with the upcoming USDA loan process, these folks are going to start getting more and more fees attached to their lots, which ultimately I would postulate they're most likely not going to pay. That means the rest of the shareholders are going to have to pay those fees. So the question is, how can we motivate them to do what they ought to do? And I have a two-page document here that I'll pass out after I finish, and you can look at it, and I'm not asking for action today, but I would like us to have a more formal discussion and take action, if that's what the board wants to do, at the next meeting. Basically, to offer these people a carrot and a stick. And the carrot is that they pay all of their accumulated shareholder fees. Well, first of all, they agree to become current with their current fees. So 2018, they come in, they pay their 2018 fees, and they reach an agreement to pay off their fees, not the total balance, the part that's the shareholder fees, in a 5-year period.
And during that period of time, we suspend charging them interest. And if at the end of the 5 years they've completed that process, i.e. they're current on all their fees, they've paid off their shareholder fees, we forgive their accumulated interest, which is really not an out-of-pocket cost to us. It's a mathematical, our real opportunity cost is something like probably 2% a year on CDs. We're charging them 1.5% per month, which I suspect if they were to dispute the charge and went to a judge, we might have difficulty convincing a judge that 1.5% was anything other than a punitive penalty. If they agree to that, then that's fine. And we give them 60 days, basically, to consider that and to come in and reach that agreement. If, after 60 days, they do not agree, we institute a collection process, and we hire a collection agency to collect the debt, which will be approximately 50%, which, again, is more than what they currently owe in shareholder fees. So I think I could defend to a shareholder that the allegation, well, you're giving them special treatment. No, I'm not. We're going to collect every penny they should have paid over that period of time, and they will be current, and they will be paying in the future. So they'll be good model citizens. And the other part of it is, I believe, well, I have no reason to believe that these are not people with some means, some other assets. I, for one, would not want to get a letter that said I was going to be sent to a collection agency for anything. And I suspect they're in the same circumstance. So, as I said, that's the stick. Mm-hmm. And I suspect if they read this and they understand it, and we're prepared to follow through, they're going to jump at the opportunity to come in and pay us, as opposed to having us turn them over to a collection agency. But I think we need to be prepared to do that. The alternative is to modify this however the board might want to modify it, or continue our current process, which basically ignores the problem, ignores the likelihood that they will pay us in the future. And I think it misstates, to a minor point, but it misstates our financial statements to say that these are truly accounts for, at some point, $20,000 is going to be $30,000 here very quickly. And there's no way we're ever going to collect that kind. So at some point, we're going to have to deal with this question. And it bothers me that that there are shareholders out there who are effectively thumbing their nose at us and saying, I'm not going to pay, and there's nothing you can do about it. I would suggest there are things that we could do about it. So that's the essence of what I'm suggesting.
So what's the downside of just going straight to collections?
You're going to get probably pennies on the dollar.
Well, it's kind of lost money anyway.
Right. I'd have to research what the cost is, but I don't think it's even 50-50. I think the collection agency is more than half.
And it might not seem more than a minor annoyance to the debtor. Does this debt do anything to their credit rating if it's reposted somewhere?
It could potentially at that point. We don't report to.
Right now, it's not reflected in their credit score. That might be. I think that'd be more of a problem for them than somebody calling them up every once in a while and say you owe some money.
But that also might, you know, once we start taking actions like that might affect them financially, like a credit report, that might then prompt them, if they're truly opposed on principle, to take some action.
Oh, and sue us.
You know, it's obviously the amounts here are not worth the cost of litigation unless we have the ability to recover.
Right.
And we currently have 12.
Well, there's
14.
There's a total 14. Of 14 on the list, but there's approximately 10 to 12 where they owe more in interest than they do in shareholder fees, which was sort of my cutoff point.
Okay.
My main interest was recovering the shareholder fees that they've owed us and getting them back to paying regularly and paying the USDA fees and everything else.
Mm-hmm. So do we have any sense for why the, let's say, top five or six offenders aren't paying?
I can speak to one. Guy owns three properties, and he had petitioned the board about 5 years ago to combine the properties because he had a house built on A and B. He owns A, B, and C, and we did so. Not at his behest, but there are some others. There were about 20 that fell into that category. And the board then felt it was fair to a person had two properties and they paid a reduced amount for the second one and a standard amount for the first one. In his case, he'd still have to pay, the base was $485 or whatever it is for an empty lot. He had not been paying that. He'd been paying his water bill all along. And he pays the reduced amount on the second property, but on principle, quote, he won't pay anything on the third one. So we leaned it. And but that's only one, and there's probably a couple others. But Leah's, or the other Leah, as I say, is a lot more in tune on them. The who, and it's the same people every year.
Yeah.
The death in the family is probably the number one. And then just simply, I'm not paying.
I don't use it. I'm not going up there. And, you know.
I didn't buy this lot thinking that I would have to pay. I don't have water. I don't.
Nobody told me about it. The realtor never said anything.
I hear that a lot. Realtors
hear everything.
What about this?
The majority are unincorporated, unimproved lots.
Yeah, but this one has they're actually getting water. Did we shut them off?
Oh yeah, okay. We have three that are leaned and locked.
Okay.
And one of those three is the one that the mortgage company is forcing the sale on.
Okay.
So this list will either dwindle or expand depending on whether we get payoffs or someone cops the attitude on principle. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mike, what would you advise on these?
Remember, you're my friend.
What's that guy?
It's a policy call for the board. I definitely understand Lee's argument that it's better to get something than nothing, and especially if we can get them to become members in good standing again and pay their fees on a regular basis, then that's a good outcome. There's a part of me that cringes at forgiveness of a debt that is legitimate, and setting that precedent for the future, and having people thumb their nose at us because they think they're going to get the similar amnesty. So there's conflicting policy arguments there either way. And like I said, for the most part, at some point down the road, we do recover. And there's no guarantee that we will, but somebody is going to transfer that property somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I didn't put in here that the amnesty issue in the future is a good one. I thought about that. I think a corollary to this would be we would have to set up a policy of utilizing a collection agency at some point, so that at the point at which the shareholder fees were equal to or greater than half or something like that, that would just be our policy. They would be not given amnesty or anything like that. They would just be, we would institute using a collection agency would be part of it, because you're right. We don't want to get into the position 10 years from now of the same policy of laissez-faire and wind up with a similar circumstance.
Now, if we do something, I think that might help as far as more people going into debt to us, if they have water link-ups and things that they don't want to pay in the future. I think this list is going to get longer. And if we've done nothing to enforce it, they might have more inclination to ignore it.
It's not that we're not doing nothing.
Putting
a lien on a property is a big, I mean, that's a big step, because that property is now encumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anybody, I'm sure, it's, you know, everybody has experience owning property. The last thing you want is to have a lien for a debt on your property other than a mortgage. So maybe, Lee, a question for you would be, as far as the administrative burden on staff, right now versus the prospect of being more proactive about it, what would your preference be?
Proactive makes more sense. I don't think it would take that much more time. They do receive, every time we do a mail out for water or shareholders' fees for the year, they all receive the fact that you now owe me X amount of dollars. So it's not like we haven't reached out to touch them. Some people are in dire straits and cannot. You know, the downside of the economy did have an effect. It was several years later, but it did have an effect on some of the people up here.
Sure.
More proactive would you know, if the board gives us
before you leave the people that are hit by the economy, are these the economy impacted, or are these people just have an attitude, I'm not going to pay because?
It's probably a combination of both.
Well, people that don't have the ability to pay are still getting water. Aren't we allowing them to pay on a pro rata basis?
Yes.
Okay.
I will take payments.
Okay, so these are people just don't pay their bills?
Correct.
Or refuse
and
to
have it for one reason or another.
Okay, and in the last 10 years, what's your experience been with?
We've had several sold and paid.
Has
we
the number
had
increased?
17,000 last year. I've got 10,000 coming in March. So there's four off of the. We used to have 20. Now we have 14.
Awesome.
We will
so
soon
they
have 12.
And one of them is, and then there are some that are locked out.
Three. Because those are three cabins.
So the remaining nine are
lots.
The remaining nine are either locked or they're empty lots, and I
correct.
Just, it's a matter of principle.
Correct.
So the question is, do we provide any kind of amnesty to people that have a matter of principle?
I kind of like that.
So that's those are people that can afford to pay and they refuse to do so.
Those are the ones
give
that
them
I
the
was talking about.
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that thinks, you know, even though it may be a while before we recover on these, it's a pretty clean system that we have right now.
And we will outlast them.
Yeah, we will be here longer than you will. And as soon as you start creating exceptions and policies that let people in,
you end up with an immigration system.
I like the idea and I like the outcome, but I worry about the complexity of it. I worry about the precedent that we're setting. I worry about burdens on staff. Those are just some of the policy concerns. But you know, probably not unmanageable, but we're creating a new set of rules and regulations that we're then going to be committed to enforcing.
Yeah. Right now, I don't want to say short-staffed, but interim staffed.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, you know, anyone using the excuse or us using the excuse of, you know, people working out of a poor economy, well, that was 9 years ago. Yeah, we're 9 years into, you know, the longest bull market in history. So that excuse in my mind goes off the table. So it's a conscious decision on our shareholders' part to not pay the water bill.
Right.
And I, you know, reflect on Jay's comment that, you know, one way to really affect people in the short term is to send it to collections and impact their credit rating. You know, and even though I'm at an age where I should care less about my credit rating, I do watch it. And when it dips, you know, more than, you know, 150 points in a, you know, month, I pay attention to it. Not that it ends, but. So, you know, it's, in some regards, this is lost money unless we just wait them out, which could be, you know, in my case, yeah, well, no, I won't pay it, you know, I'll let my heirs.
Let your estate.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. It could be 40 years, 50 years in some cases, I don't know. old some of these shareholders are. But
these people are losing the use of their cabin, too.
A lot of them are.
After a lockdown?
Yeah.
But the debt does increase the whole time until they do pay, so there's some benefit to that. So now you don't owe 20, you own 30 to your state.
Except that, we're already probably with one of these at the value of the property. So, anything beyond 20K, is probably lost, and it becomes...
One thing that I would need to nail down. I think we can recover against an estate even beyond the value of the property. There's multiple questions there. One is, does the person have an estate that has any assets, other assets in it? And then the other is, even if they do, let's say we have a $30,000 lien on the property and it only sells for $20,000, can we recover the rest against the estate? I suspect probably as a legitimate debtor in the probate process, but I don't know for sure. I'd have to look at that. But the recent track record is, for the most part, at some point these properties transfer and we get paid eventually. And the concern I have with the collection agency is not only are we giving up that that potential to recover the full amount, but you're also kind of, like I said, when it comes to challenges, right now, even the ones that are principled are still just sitting on it and racking up debt that eventually we should be able to recover some or all of. And by starting to take proactive action and threatening to affect their credit or foreclose, you might be poking a sleeping bear. You might end up in litigation.
Mm-hmm. We know how that goes.
No. Did you want to comment on the 1.5%?
I do have some concerns about, and I think you mentioned this too, I'm not sure that we can charge that high of an interest rate. So I do have concerns about that. So far, nobody has opposed it, and we have collected it on multiple occasions.
Well, and it doesn't test the user's limit.
It goes beyond that. Yeah. The usury limit is 10% per year. We're charging 1.5%
18%.
Monthly.
I thought that changed.
I thought 22% was the user.
Yeah.
How do credit cards get away with it?
They're financial institutions. There are exceptions for loans and credit card agencies and things like that. They can exceed the 10%.
We're all absolutely positively on this 10. Mm-hmm. See, I thought the usury limit went up as well.
I know the usury limit is 10. Okay. That part I know. What I am not 100% sure about is our ability to exceed that limit or not. I would need to do a little bit more research on that. But like I said, so far nobody has contested that, and we have recovered it in multiple instances.
So what do we do now, Lee, to...
Lee's gone.
To remind people.
What do we do?
We got in front of a judge. The judge would say, "Well, what have you guys done to collect this?"
Well, she said once a month in their notice, they're reminded every month.
Every time the billing goes out, which is once a year.
Yeah.
That's when they're reminded.
Mm. Is that frequently enough?
I would think so.
But they're forewarned and foretold before we file a lien.
That too, and it's recorded on their property, so there's
and it's on the billing that you receive. If you don't pay, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think staff calls a lot of them, talks to them, and tries to change them.
So of the 14 here, do we have liens on all of them?
I think so.
Yes. And again, some of them are shut off.
If they're cabin, they're locked off.
Yeah.
They have a different amount.
Yeah, my concern is once we start laying out some of the costs for our systems improvement that this list is going to
increase,
swell.
Did, so I was thinking we get more rather than fewer people that are owing.
Well, it's less than 0.5% now. That's one way to look at it.
Oh, you mean the debtors of the
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what is considered acceptable in a range like that. Do you want to move a recommendation?
Not until the next meeting, but I would just ask you to think about.
Okay.
If one of these people gets a letter that says, if you pay off your shareholder fees, which are half of what you owe, or either the lien is going to continue, in which case somebody's going to have to pay off the whole thing, or we're going to use a collection agency, I have to believe that the majority of these people will contact us and say, where do I sign up?
Yeah. So the amnesty, as you call it, appropriately, would be
in effect, yeah.
Anything other than the actual original cost of the water delivery.
I'm saying that's what I focus on. And right. You know, we could decide, for instance, I'm very concerned about the 1.5%. We could recalculate it at 2% per annum, which is probably what we're getting on our CDs, and say, okay, we're going to recalculate it, we're going to, you know, that's a bill we're going to do.
Okay.
Or we can do nothing. That's fine. But then what we're going to need to do is put in a bad debts expense into our budget that recognizes the fact that at some point we're probably not going to get all of the money, or it's going to cost us something to go after it. That's all.
So my concern is that the people who don't want to pay aren't really going to care about the collection agency.
Obviously.
I think there's some of them are very much like, it's a principle of the thing.
Yeah.
So you don't think if a collection agency comes after them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're getting a very minimal amount of the money anyway.
Well, my concern there is, currently they don't care about racking up the debt, even though they know it's leaned against their property. But as soon as you take action like that, they might care.
Yeah.
But they still have this principal opposition
opposition.
And that's where.
And then you have the idea that maybe we are charging too much in the interest, and we'll get sued on that, and it's going to cost you more.
Yeah. But challenge the debt itself, and end up in litigation over whether we can charge fees against vacant lot.
And that's all true. Or they might reach for their checkbook and say, "How much do I sign?"
I have a problem with setting that precedent though. At the moment.
Excuse me.
Okay,
the matter's deferred until May.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my way to deal with it.
Well,
I'm just going to state this, that I appreciate that we want to get the money. I totally get that. But I think that the people here, these are the people who on principle aren't going to want to pay. And I think, I'm not sure how they'd retaliate with a lawsuit or another method. So.
No, I'm really ticked off.
Exactly. You know, so
is this where does small courts claims end up?
How much?
$5,000.
But you just get a decision when you already have a decision on the lien.
But I don't think this would fall under the small claims court, because they're challenging, this is basically a water rates lawsuit that is more complex than what the small claims court would do.
So that's kind of what I was...
The legitimacy of the debt.
Yeah, so the likelihood of them retaliating and suing us feels de minimis, because the amount of, they're going to spend more on lawyer's fees and court costs and filing fees than, what their water bill is. So it would have to be a deep-rooted principle issue in their mind, and they have the extra money to burn, in which case we could always hold our tent and
pack it up.
Yeah.
I know in Prop 218 cases against public agencies, there can be attorney fee recovery, and I'm not sure, again, if there was a water rates challenge against a mutual, I'd have to look into that, whether we could potentially be on the hook for preventing part of attorney fees.
But if we won, we would get theirs. We would get ours.
Not necessarily. No. It's usually not the way it works with public agencies.
But we're not a public agency.
Right, but I'm saying if that similar relationship exists, it doesn't always work the other way. It almost never works the other way around. If you sue a public agency and you win, you can recover your fees. If the public agency wins, they're just out.
It happens like that. You get a judgment out of small claims. And the judge says if they don't pay, you get a 10-year renewable judgment. They still don't pay. That's
I got the judgment. I wanted to go down and tow out their BMWs, and they wouldn't do it.
No.
Before
no,
they were doing it.
All right. Thank you, Lee. That covers item B, the policy change as well, correct?
Well, can I, just on that real quick, are there other specific questions that, that the board would want me to come back with answers to in May?
On this...
Because if this comes back, I want us to be prepared.
Well, yeah. Can we charge 1.5% on the unpaid balance, okay, or is that a violation of usury law?
I'd be curious to see what somebody would charge to research the lineup of debtors.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're necessarily going that route.
And what a collection agency fee structure is like.
Oh, yeah.
It's generally 50-50.
Well, Michael thinks it's far less.
Yeah.
In our favor. Far less in our favor. More than theirs.
Well, up here, this is off the beaten path. It might be 75-25. We're not in the 75 range.
I think all they do is call.
Well, no, they'll come out and ring doorbells and they'll follow you around. They find out where you work. They'll start to harass you.
If the money's worth it, yeah.
They don't get paid unless they collect. Mm-hmm. It's kind of right, like the repo guy.
Yeah.
You never find those people.
Yeah. The repo guys are.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, they have some good TV shows. Repo airplanes.
Anything else on policy changes? Lee Bateman?
Yes.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you. Manager's report.
Okay, production.
Remember water?
Water, that's what we do. We do water. Well, production was down in January a little bit, probably due to the fact that we didn't have very much snow then. And occupancy was low, probably at the cabin, that's my guess. February production out of the wells was up a little bit, more normal. Had more people coming up. January usage looks lower a little bit because of we had a big leak last year in January, so but it's really more, you know, if you take the leak out of it, it's really more in line with 2015-2016 usage. And February usage was slightly higher than past years, but you know, not crazy. So overall in production and usage, there's no, it's pretty much normal. No big surprises in that for the first 2 months of the year. The drawdown for wells, for well three is pretty much, well three is pretty much topped off at 160 feet. It varies, for the 2 months a little bit, but so we're in good shape there. Well four is also near the top, 770 feet, roughly averaged. It's above the pump intake. That's feet of water above the intake of the pump. So our water supply is looking very strong right now. Of course, we will be watching the snowpack or lack thereof as we are going into the springtime now. So I don't know, I guess they predicted snow next week too.
Yeah.
So we might get some more snow, that would be nice.
3 to 5 inches of water in the atmosphere.
So we're going to watch that, and you know, the state's still urging conservation. I think we should stick with that as far as we don't want people to forget about it. And you know, Sacramento is only allowing, what, 2 days a week watering?
Mm-hmm.
Even now. So right now we're in stage one of conservation plan. And we'll just keep watching our usage to see how we go into the summer. I don't anticipate that we're going to have to go into stage two. I don't know, Bill. You know, I think we're okay now, but we can watch it, see if people start, you know, using a lot. And then we have the option. We could go into stage two. But I don't see us doing that.
The question, besides the leak I had, were there any other leaks in January, February? Or do you know? Do you guys know?
There might have been some minor ones, nothing significant that even that's going to affect the charts.
Right.
Just small.
Okay.
Not like your house, just maybe a couple thousand gallons, but nothing.
Yeah.
So you didn't shut your water off?
We did, but the valve outside the house cracked. We heard water running on the camera, and I was hoping it was the golf course. And Phil went out, and Chuck, he's like, yeah, you got a water leak. So.
Hey, they could be expensive.
Those cameras are good, if you can hear it. I was convinced it was not our house.
That was a unique one. I haven't seen that one yet. We're hearing on your security camera calling a leak. That was the first.
Well, he was. My husband came to me and goes, does that sound like there's a water leak? Or, you know, water is running. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like water running, and I'm hoping it's not us. So.
What kind of camera do you
have? I think they're D-Link. We have inside and outside, and but they pick up sound. So he can listen. When I have a girl's weekend, he can listen to our conversations in the house. It's kind of eerie.
Is that a little
Yeah, my friends cover the cameras inside the house. So. But the outside, you know, you can see the snow and you can see.
Yeah, just one little note that I'll remind the board on this, on the drought stage question. I don't think we're going to get there this year. Hopefully we still get some more, enough precipitation, but we do have that agreement in our contract with CCWD that when they escalate their drought stage, whether it's mandated by the state or their own action, we have to essentially match it.
Match it, yeah.
But we seem to be more aggressive than they are.
We generally are more aggressive than they are, that's correct. Yeah. But the idea there is that, you know, when we're buying water from them, we're at least we're conserving as much as they have.
Right.
And the state wants a report every year. And then they're comparing it, they're still doing this, they're comparing it to 2013 usage, so. So we'll keep, we'll comply with whatever we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Dave?
On that, is there any question, other questions on
any
that?
Any questions to the manager? Okay. Item next is D1. We've pretty much covered a lot of it.
Did you want to talk about moving the meeting to the third?
Oh, let's say that to the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the things I was going to go over in my report, we actually went over with Tom's thing.
Okay.
So I could work it.
Okay. Including the progress reports. You got that. A co-bank loan. There's a copy in your package of the resolution. The bank will require a resolution. It usually requires a copy of our minutes as well. And from our discussion this morning, I did not pick up the fact that the inclination of the board is not to go forward with this, but to go forward with the resolution. Am I correct on that? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the two matters are linked.
Correct.
And clearly we need to lock the interim financing in place.
Okay.
Even if our construction project is delayed.
Okay. And the Lee?
Yes.
The resolution requires the signature of four members of the board, president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. Is that correct?
That's the incumbency form, which is just a signature form, basically. I think the resolution itself only requires the secretary's signature.
Just one signature.
But we need those other signatures. It's just when we do
the form, yeah.
On the other form.
I thought secretary was just in name only.
Yeah.
No. Do we have a secretary?
That's what we told you.
For you?
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
I wasn't here for the meeting, and they voted me a secretary.
The way you're voting. Yeah.
Okay. Unfinished business correspondence.
Yeah,
a
couple. Did we vote to approve that resolution?
No.
We have to do that.
Oh, my apologies.
I move that we approve the resolution.
This is for CoBank.
For CoBank. Well, interim finance.
There is three items to be approved.
And the second goes to?
Second.
Three items. One was the resolution. The other was the credit agreement. And the third was the promissory note.
They
really have to approve all three of them.
Let's do the resolution first.
Okay.
One second. Will your motion just include the resolution or all three documents?
Can we do all three documents?
I think we should do them separate.
Separately? Okay. Yeah. Motion on
the resolution only.
To sign the resolution only. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed indicate by saying nay.
Aye.
Thank you. The second document is.
Dave, did you say something?
I said aye.
Dave, okay.
Oh, thank you. Second document.
Second document.
David.
Oh, the second document is the
agreement.
There's a promissory note and the credit agreement, so whichever.
Did you get that?
I'll pick the credit agreement.
The credit agreement.
Oh, okay.
Credit agreement.
I move that we approve the credit agreement.
Second.
I'll second it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
One quick question, though. You've reviewed all these documents.
We have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Good question.
Thank you for asking that.
Yeah.
Motion to approve by say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Third document.
Third document is the promissory note.
Promissory note. Motion to accept or to sign.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying nay. Thank you. Correspondence. If you have a couple letters, we blocked out the names. These are atypical of. We get a couple of these every year. I didn't pay my bill because I didn't get the billing in the mail. But somehow the payment arrives, and I can't figure out how they know how much to pay if they didn't get a bill. But be that as it may, both of these cases, and you have copies of them. They're asking that we waive late fees and interest fees. And we have not done this in the past, so it's on the board. It's at the pleasure of the board. If it's your pleasure to waive the fees or not do so, we'll need a one way, we'll need a motion one way or the other.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So for the one dated March 8th.
Yes.
Have they ever missed it before?
No.
No, neither of them have.
Yeah,
no, the other guy did.
That's not true. The other guy, the first guy has.
Oh, he did.
And he refuses to pay last year's 65 plus the interest that is added. Got he it. Also refuses to pay this year's interest and penalty. So he's up an additional $150. The first gentleman, the Thursday Sharon, in answer to your question, has never been late. He has lived here since 2008 and pays a week later.
Oh, so this was really...
I did not get their bill back, so I can't say that he did not get it.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't get my mail.
Past experience.
Random. So past experiences, he's always paid on time.
Correct.
I think I'd waive the first one. He's never missed.
Yeah. I wouldn't waive either one of them.
No, if I could we cut it? We, the other option would be, or an option would be to cut it in half. $37.50 instead of $65.
I'll just make the.
Mr. Drinkler, you have an industry comment.
I'll just make the slippery slope argument that. Like, as Bob said, we've never done it before. I don't know of any other water agency that does it. Even as unkind as it is, it's much easier to have a straightforward policy with no exceptions that everybody is subject to than it is to start carving out exceptions.
And in this case, I'm just going to say that we are a shareholder-driven water company, not out for profit.
And I'm the heartless attorney. So.
Your heartless treasurer would say.
Well, it's not like these.
I do sympathize with these with people. I understand that circumstances are driving it. You know, but the other one that you see a lot of times at other agencies. And that we've seen here too is, you know, a leak that is not my fault at all, and you know, but your consumptive charge went through the roof on a given month. Most I'm not aware of any water agency that forgives that. It's a straightforward policy that you pay what you owe. And that's the easiest to administer and the easiest to enforce. And you don't run into arguments of potential discrimination or unfairness down the road.
And along that, I will add that both these people have been here long enough to understand that January they get a water bill.
That's a fair point, too.
Well, that was the point I was about to make, is that, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And,
No, I agree.
So this guy travels a lot. What happens with all of his other bills?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
You know, his Chevron card, his American Express, his Visa,
HOA.
I remember this one. And
he said that he set the automatic billing with everybody else, and We don't have that option right now.
Not yet.
Well, but he can call and pay with a credit card. So.
And in staff's defense, he gets them. It's more important for you to have good relationships with shareholders, so you can always just blame me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and these people we have spoken with. We were unable to make them understand, unable to make them see our side, the board's side. I want to talk to someone else. So that's why these two are brought before you.
So the one from Wednesday,
yes,
who I remember, because I was nosy about him last time we saw an email from him. How long has he normally been on time? Just the last year?
No, he's had four other instances where we've charged him the $65. He's been here since 2010.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we dealt with him last year.
Yes, and we said no. And that's what he's fighting about. He's
you don't ask, you don't get. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does for a living. So that's his...
What, asking?
Well, in the second one, it's the reason it's our fault that he's...
Right.
Late. And I'll chime in. I don't think we should support either of them.
All right. I'll go in with that.
No action is necessary.
I'm never going to give Mike Minkler a loan, though.
I'm going to tell you that, Bob, are you going to write these letters to you?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be happy to. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm much nicer at my own.
I'm sure you are.
Well, Bob, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to be nice. At what point would we consider if Wednesday continues not to pay the $152 plus accumulated interest, at what point do we consider turning his water off?
We don't have a dollar amount on that, but I would say we can do it whenever we want.
Well, I meant, is there a board policy on that?
There is no board policy as to a dollar amount.
Isn't there, Michael said something about if he pays the water bill part of it, the water part, but he doesn't pay his penalties, we still have to provide, didn't that come up on that other guy?
Right, and there actually is also some legislation pending right now that changes the rules about when you can and can't shut water off.
Right.
We want to avoid that. We'd like to avoid that.
Are these full-time residents?
No.
No, these are part-time residents that say, here's the check for the water, and I'm not going to pay anything else.
Right.
We call that the...
Okay, let me ask a different question.
Yeah.
It's not up to the shareholder to determine how we credit money he sends us. Okay? If we had a policy that said, when you send us money, it will be applied in the following way, and the first thing is past debts, and then future, and then, right? I mean, it's up to us to determine how to apply that money to our accounts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing we don't have a policy on that now, so that Wednesday is able to say, I'm only paying, just apply this to the water bill, so I'm current, but not to what I owe you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good point.
I'll think about that.
So we'll credit it to his debt? Then you can credit it to his debt. You still owe the water.
He still owes money on his water.
Now my point is then he doesn't.
Yeah,
then he has
good
to pay
point.
His water.
Yeah.
I mean, typically, it's whatever your oldest, the longest is
what gets paid off.
What gets paid
first. Mm-hmm.
Well, in these cases, they would have paid a portion of the water bill because the penalty and the
understand that, but he would have only paid. But he's
their water bill includes the penalty.
And just for clarification, it's a shareholder's fee, not a water.
Oh, shareholder's fee, sorry. Thank you, you keep correcting. Yes.
Are these guys neighbors?
No.
It feels like a water bill.
Yeah.
Probably the worst share.
Walks like a bad bike.
I want Apple stock.
Right. I'll handle the responses on those.
There you go.
Item B is to appoint a nomination chair. Andy, thank you for volunteering.
I got a letter in the mail.
I did too.
Yeah, my name's already out there.
I saw it, yeah.
You're doing a hell of a job.
I was surprised.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So who's...
Any bites yet?
Well, the names are just rolling in.
Dave, if we don't get any names, you can't go off the board.
We're one behind a long-range planning committee nomination.
Wow. Who's up for...
Bob and Dave Owen.
Dave?
Dave?
Dave, you there?
Dave Owen.
Dave Owen?
He's asleep.
I'm here.
He's out mowing the lawn.
Nomination chairperson has announced that there are no applicants yet for your replacement, therefore you can't go off the board.
Don't tell Janet.
Invention of the two.
Not a valid.
Not a valid.
No.
Not working.
Okay. Action items.
I have several new action items, and if I could get approval if they go on the action item or not, I'd appreciate it. The first action was Bob and Dave were going to look into the April 21st town hall meeting. Second action item was Tom Schneider was going to go to MC Engineering to recheck the spend profile on the March 15th meeting, and I don't know if I need an action item for that, or is Tom going to just handle that on his own. The third was Tom was going to look at the cost analysis and send it to the board by the end of March. Fourth action item was Bob to talk about board concerns with MC Engineering. But before Bob was able to do that, Michael Minkler will need to look at the contract again to peruse it to make sure that to see if there's any clauses that pertain. And the last was general manager was going to look at the latest estimate and the quantity changes. And we need an explanation with MC. Any others or any that you feel don't go on the action items?
Well, I would just ask that on the current action item list, I think that first one we can take off.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that was, I was getting to that. So on the current action items that the board did get in the packet?
Yeah, can we
the
go...
The USDA interim... Yes.
Can we time up for a second? I want to go back to the MC Engineering contract. Is there a performance clause?
That's what I'm going to go back and check.
That's what he's going to check.
Oh, that's what you're checking out.
Okay. I want to do that before Bob meets with him so that he might have a hammer.
So looking at the previous action items, the number one were the interim financing waiver. That is complete and will not go forward. The second one, the interim financing, I missed that, but I'm assuming since we just signed all documents, we are going to go forward with CoBank. So I will re-script that. Past due shareholders, again, I was out of the office or out of the board meeting. Okay. The foreclosure procedure. Michael, you were going to check with me.
I have a list of questions that I'm going to look into before the next board meeting.
So keep that on and do a 5/12 due date?
Yes.
And Treasurer Bateman...
Continue that in the next meeting also.
Okay, so we'll continue both those. The loan program, continue to research the loan program. That is Bob, Michael, and staff. Mm-hmm. And then completion of the boardroom, I am suspending that one.
Okay. Questions or comments?
This being the boardroom?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll... take a motion to move to executive session.
I move to move to executive session.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no.
Aye.
Is that a nay or an aye?
Aye.
Oh, okay.
So just slow.
Do I turn off the machine?
Yes, please.